सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ लास्ट् टैम् वि सॉ भगवान् डिस्क्राइबिङ्ग् 8 टाइप्स् आफ् पीपल् 4 of them he calls as Dushkrutinaha and the other four Sukrutinaha. So the evildoers or those who are doing bad things, Bhagwan classifies them into 4 categories. The Mudaha, the ones who have wrong understanding, and not only that they have that understanding, but they actually fight for that understanding. The second is Naradhamaha, Nara Adhamaha, the lowest of the human beings. And I told you that the species below us is the animal species. So when we say lowest of the human beings, those who are very close to leading an animalistic life. And what is an animalistic life? The animals only do 4 things. Ahar, Nidra, Bhaya and Maithuna. So Ahar, eating or taking in sense perceptions. Sleep, fear they have, and then procreation. If we also do only these 4 things in our life without even trying to know or without even having an idea that there is something beyond this eat, drink, and be merry attitude, then Bhagwan calls them as Adhaman. They're lowest among the human beings. Those who are deluded by Maya, and how do they get deluded by Maya? Maya is Trigunatmak. It is of the nature of Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So when they get into a relationship with these things, and the way we get into a relationship is by creating likes and dislikes. So when I like a lot of inert objects, possessions, I want to possess this, that, and every other thing, it is tamasic. When it's power and position, it's rajasic. And then even when it is, when I want to gain more and more and more knowledge, that also, because we have to understand that sattva also binds. In the ultimate analysis, we need to go beyond sattva as well. And then asuram bhavam ashritaha, those who are of us, of the nature of the asuras. And asuras, I told you, asasu ramante iti asuraha, those who are only rebelling in the pranas. Pranas representing the body means those who are extremely body identified. Example is Ravana. So they will do all kinds of wrong things to satisfy the cravings of the body. These 4 types of people, Bhagwan said, they do not come to me. But then are there some people who come to you? Yes, they do. And the antidote to these 4, the opposite of these 4 are Artha. Artha is, example is Draupadi, the one who is in distress. So it doesn't matter that she has a desire, the person, Artha person has a desire, he's in distress, he wants to get out of it, but he is going Godward instead of going dogward. So he's surrendering to the Lord and asking for help. And Bhagwan says, that is good enough for me. He is the one that is turning towards me. Next one is Jidnyasu, who is the opposite of Naradhamaha. Naradhamaha is the one who is only eat, drink and be merry and does not even know that there is something higher. Whereas a Jidnyasu is one who knows that there is something higher and he is now wanting to have that knowledge, wanting to know. And I told you the example of a perfect Jidnyasu is in Kathopanishad, Nachiketas. So he is now turning towards the Lord or the Guru saying, I want to know what is beyond this. Is this, I think that this is not the only thing. Eat, drink and be merry cannot be the only thing, is not the only thing. I would like to know that which is beyond this. And that is a Jidnyasu. Artharthi is one who wants material wealth. Fine. He has a desire. He wants to have material wealth, but he is not doing anything wrong. He is not getting it by evil means. This Maya Aparata Jnanaha, they are so deluded. They do wrong things. Example is Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra did a lot of wrong things to the Pandavas. Why? Because he was attached to his throne and his crown and he was attached to his son. So Artharthi is one who also maybe wants the throne and the crown, but he will not do wrong things for it. What he's doing is he's surrendering to the Lord. He's asking the Lord to help him to get these things. And therefore, Bhagwan has put him in this category. These are the four types of people. The last one is Jnani, Jnani Bhakta, the one who actually knows his oneness with the Lord. So Bhagwan says that these ones are, they are the Sukrutinaha, they do good deeds, they have surrendered to me, they have desires, I agree, no problem, no worries, but for those desires, they are not doing anything wrong, they are surrendering to me, and that is the plus point. Okay, then he goes on to say in the next two verses that the Jnani is his most dear. One thing is because he's Nitya Yukta and Eka Bhakti. Nitya Yukta, I told you, Yukta is used to join. So he's joined with the Nitya Vastu. Nitya Vastu is only one, and that is the pure consciousness or the substratum, or in this case, Bhagwan Krishna, because Krishna is not talking as the form. He's talking from the highest standpoint. So he is only used to attach to this Nitya Vastu. A Nitya Yukta cannot be someone who is attached to something which is anitya, not eternal. So anybody who is attached to this, anything in the world, cannot be called as nitya yukta, because the object of attachment is only impermanent. How it will become, how can you be permanently attached to something itself which is impermanent? Because that's going to go, then what? So nitya yukta only means that he's attached to Bhagwan. And then eka bhakti means he is very single-pointed in his devotion. With us, what happens, you know, when we are going into the outside world, today our devotion is to one thing, then next day it can change. Next day it can change. So that's why this Eka Bhakti Visheshate, Eka Bhakti means he's very, very single-pointed in his devotion. He knows that this is what I want, this is what I want to go for, and this is it. There is nothing other than in this world. Priyohi Jnani Nyortham. So these Jnanis are very dear to me. I told you last week also, the Jnani is very dear to him is because the Jnani has realized that his own self is Bhagwan. And I told you that the thing that we love most in this world is our own self. No matter what anybody says, anybody can say anything. I love my children more. I love my husband. Nothing. It is for the sake of our own self that we love anything else. As soon as that thing stops giving us pleasure, we will discard it. Perfect example is the heater. Now we need the heater. We love the heater. The minute it starts getting hot outside, we're going to discard the heater. Okay, so when even the children start giving us trouble, we don't like them as much. So we like those objects which make ourselves happy, make me happy. Those are the objects or the people that I like. And now this Jnani has realized this self to be Bhagwan, and he loves the self the most. Anyway, we love the self the most. Now the realization has come that the self is nothing but the Supreme Lord. So there is love in spite of. We, you know, for ourselves, our love is in spite of. For anything else, it is because of. Because the person is good, I like. Because the weather is good, I like it. Because the object is giving me pleasure, I like it. Because. But this love for the self is no matter what happens. Whether I look ugly, whether I don't, I love myself the most. So now when this Jnani has recognized that this self is nothing but the Supreme Lord, his love becomes totally unconditional. So he loves the Lord as his own self. As it is, our love for the self is the greatest. Now the love for the Lord has become greatest for the Jnani. Then the question arises, and we had just touched upon this verse last time, is that, okay, then you're partial. Bhagwan, you're partial. If you love the Jnani more than the other three, then there is partiality. Therefore, Bhagwan says, Udaraha Sarva Evaite. This Udara word has different aspects to it. Dara, one meaning of Dara is wife. So Lakshmi ji is the wife of Vishnu. So by saying Udara, one thing is Udara is plural. So he's referring to the first three. He's referring to Artha, Jidnyasu and Artharthi from the previous verse. Okay? Because it's plural. And by saying Dara, wife, he's saying that they are also as dear to me as Lakshmi is, as my own wife is. This is what he means. Also, Udara means what he's, they're noble hearted. Gurudev has translated it as noble indeed are all these. They're good hearted. Why? Because no, even though they have desires, they have turned towards me. So once we turn towards Bhagwan, we will not tend to do anything wrong. One who is sincere, yeah, one who is conceited and deceitful, of course, he will pray to the Lord and he'll go on doing wrong things. That is a different matter. But one who is, so Udara also means those who are straightforward, those who are not conceited, those who are not deceitful. So he says that these people are, they have turned towards me and they are not deceitful and therefore they are dear to me as my own wife. Okay. However, Jnani among them is, he excels. Why? Astita sai yuktatma mame va anuttamam gatim. Because he has now become one with me. He is the only one among the four who has no desires. Why? Because he has recognized himself to be the supreme consciousness. Now what is there to desire? He has got all his desires. Because once you recognize yourself to be the substratum of this entire world, what is happening is when you look at anything, you will look at it as your own reflection. I only know theory. I have not experienced. But this is the vision of a realized master, that any person he looks at, any object, he says, I am the one that is supporting this. I am their support. So they are not any different from me. Now, when there is no difference between them and me, what is there to desire? The desire comes always from a sense of incompleteness. Desire comes from a sense of otherness. Now, there is no otherness and there is no incompleteness because now he has got that Nitya Vastu, which is full, complete. Purnamada, that's why Ishavasya, Om Purnamada Purnamidam. That is Purna and this is also Purna, full. You're full. It's like, you know, you're, I've just had my dinner, I'm full. Now if somebody offers me food, I'm going to say, no, I'm full. I don't want. So for him, everywhere he feels himself to be full. So he has no desires. And because of that, what happens is he is free for the Lord's work. And what is the Lord's work? Lord's work is to spread this knowledge. See, the others have so many desires of their own that how they will have time to do somebody else's work. In our case, if I am very, very busy, how I can give time to somebody else? I don't have time to complete my own chores. Now, am I able to give time to somebody else? So if I am myself not freed from my own worries and desires and anxieties, how I will help others? So that's why what Bhagwan is saying, these other three, they are good people, no doubt, but they have desires. They have agitations in the mind. So because of that, they cannot fully concentrate. They are of course higher than the first four. They are at least surrendering to me, but they cannot fully concentrate on me. And they have no time to do my work because they have to fulfill their own desires, even though they are this thing. So that is why he says that this jnani, it's like your mature child whom you can trust. And you can say, okay, you know, I'll just keep the food in the fridge. You warm it up and eat. Whereas the younger ones, you need to take care of them. So what Bhagwan is saying is, I have to take care of them. So my time is also taken away taking care of them. That's one thing also. Like for me to do my work also, I have to be worrying about these three because they are always coming to me. Whereas the jnani is not coming to me. He is independent. So I can give him work. Even, you know, in a corporation, in an organization, see, there is a team leader who assigns work. He will always, he may not say it, may or may not say it, but he will always be, he will be identifying somebody in the team whom he knows I can give work to this person and forget about it. Don't you? See, all of we have worked, right? So that person then becomes dear to him. Why? Because he knows once I give it to him, that's it. It's off my this. Whereas somebody else, now I have to babysit. I have to ask them, did you do this? Then they'll come and ask me questions. And then again, I have to answer. That means my time is getting wasted with them. But with this person, my time is not getting wasted at all. And I can be very, very sure that this work is going to get done. So obviously that person becomes dearer to him than the others. Not that he hates the others, but this way. So that is the sort of thing. So we must not think that, oh, Bhagwan has now become very partial and this thing. Not like that. That's why Bhagwan says that the jnani, because of his independence, is dear to me. Okay? All right. So we had seen up to this verse. Now we'll go further. बहुनाम जन्मनामन्ते ज्ञानवान् मां प्रपद्यते वासुदेव सर्वमिति समहात्मा सुदुर्लभः. At the end of many births, the wise man comes to me, realizing that all this is Vasudeva, the innermost self. Such a great soul, Mahatma, is very hard to find. So, Bahunam Janma Namante, at the end of Ante, at the end of many births, this many births, this two words, there are two connotations to it. One thing that we must understand that to gain liberation, realization, to even gain the devotion for Lord, even at a little bit, even a lower notch, to even get a spiritual guru, it's not that easy. It takes many, many births. In many, many births, when we do a lot of merits, lot of good actions, actually in one of the commentaries, Bhagavan Shankaracharya says, crores. Many, he doesn't use the word many, he uses the word crores. He says, after crores of births, when you have done good deeds in all those births, all those good deeds fructify and come in front of you as a guru, spiritual guru. So imagine. So that's why this has been used. That don't think that only in this life you can do and you can gain. You can, some people can, but chances are less. So it takes many, many births to get this sort of devotion and many more to get that sort of realization as well. The other thing about Bahunam now, the thing is that in this birth itself, you can do intense sadhana. See, the harder you work, the more chances of you getting the results, right? Simple, you know, you're writing an exam. If you really study hard, then you will get a first class. So in this birth itself, if you can do intense sadhana, now that is very difficult because, I mean, it is possible for some people have done it. But to get the world, to get the mind to become introverted is very, very difficult. So either you take many, many births. So you keep on doing good work through the births. Take your pick, or you do all that work in one, you know, either you take a week to complete a task, or you can work really hard on one day and finish it off, do overtime and finish it off. So it's your choice. So either way you take it, either you take many, many births, or in this birth, you do lot of intense sadhana. And at the end of that sadhana, when that guru fructifies and gives you the knowledge, and if your mind is purified enough, and if that knowledge, you know, makes sense to you, you follow the instructions, then such a wise man, person will come to me. This is what Bhagwan is saying here, right? Then what happens when he comes to you, when he surrenders to you, or when he comes to you, or when he realizes you as his own self? Vasudeva sarvam iti. What realization he comes to is that sarvam, everything in this world is nothing but Vasudeva. See, Vasudeva is the father of Vasudeva. Vasudeva means one who has purified himself of Rajas and Tamas. Rajas in the three, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas, Rajas and Tamas are considered impurities. Sattva is purity. So the one who has cleared himself of Rajas and Tamas, then Bhagwan is born to him. That's why Bhagwan Krishna, you know, his parents had done a lot of tapas. In Bhagavat it comes that in their previous lives, they had done a lot of tapas, and then Bhagwan came, Vishnu Bhagwan came, and they said, what do you want? Bhagwan asked them. They said, we want you to be born as our child. So they had done a lot of, it's not like suddenly Bhagwan decided that I'm going to be born in Devaki's womb. It wasn't like that. So Bahunam Janma Namante. So for many births they had done that. So one who has cleared off his impurities, Rajas and Tamas, to him Bhagwan is born. So in our case, subjectively, when we clear our mind of Rajas and Tamas, which is impurities, then the divinity within will shine forth. That is the subjective meaning of this. Then what happens is, when that divinity really shines forth, you will see that you will come to recognize that divinity within is the divinity everywhere? That is another very important. Yeah, okay, I realize myself to be Brahman, okay, but the world is not Brahman. That is not realization. That is not realization. The minute you come to know that you are that supreme consciousness, at the same time, you will come to know, and you must come to know, that this entire world is nothing but a manifestation of that supreme consciousness. It is like a whole vessel of rice. You only pinch one grain of rice to know that the whole rice is cooked. You don't need to go on pinching every single grain to know, oh, is this cooked? Is this cooked? No. One. Or in an ocean, you can just take one drop and taste it, and you know that the entire ocean is salty. You don't have to go to the other shore. Let me see if that part is salty. Let me see if that. Let me go underneath and see if it is salty. You don't have to do that. One drop is enough. This is the idea here. So Vasudeva Sarvamiti means once the purification has happened, the person will come to this jnani, comes to realize his own self as the supreme substratum, supreme consciousness. And at the same time, he comes to realize that it is me alone that is supporting this entire world of sentient and insentient beings. And that is the meaning of Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. All this is Vasudeva has to be realized. Not just me. I am Vasudeva. Okay, what about the other? No, the other world is all Ravana. No. It is not like that. Me as well as. Sa Mahatma Sudha, such a Mahatma, such a great person is very Durlabha, very, very rare. And why? Because first of all, human birth itself is rare. We have seen that to get human birth is not that easy. And that's why all the spiritual masters tell us, no matter which faith, they all say, don't waste your birth, don't waste your birth. That is the reason that, and then there are some people who think that, oh, once you're born as a human, you'll always be born as a human. Please, that is also not correct. In chapter 8 only now it will come when we do that chapter. Bhagwan says you can be born in a lower yoni. It depends on what sort of actions you're doing. You know, if you, this Naradhama, if you only do eat, then Bhagwan says, what is the point of giving him a human body? Because all he's doing is things that the animals are doing. So he may as well have an animal body then. That's all he wants to do. He wants to eat, he wants to sleep, he has fear and he wants to procreate. Then human body is not required for that. Animal body, you can do that. Then that's how where you will fall. So that's why when we have got this chance, at least not let's waste it. I'm not saying that suddenly there'll be liberation, but if we try to gain this knowledge, then at least we'll be guaranteed a human birth next time. So you have more chance. You have another birth to again continue with the same things. And this is what Bhagwan already said in chapter 6, because Arjun asked, what happens to the yogi who falls from his path? Maybe he falls from his path. Maybe he dies in between. Something like that happens. Then Bhagwan said, don't worry. Next life, he will pick up the thread. So at least if we don't complete our studies in this life for whatever reason, sometimes, you know, it's not just physical deaths. People just, they just don't want to do it anymore. Don't know why. I've seen people like that. Okay, fine. At least we let us do it, and we don't know when that mental inertia will come. So keep studying until then, at least. And then maybe, God forbid, at one time, if you know we don't do it, at least we'll pick it up in the next life. So human birth is rare. In that human birth, to meet a guru is another rare thing, because you have to do punya in crores of births before you met. So we must consider ourselves lucky that we came in touch with Gurudev, we came in touch with the Chinmay mission. So at least there must be some punya we have done that we have now. So that is rare. Okay, then in already in verse 3, he said, Manushanam Sahasreshu. That among thousands and thousands of men, only few try to seek me. And among the few hundreds who try to seek me, only one way. Why? Because it is a very, very difficult path. That's what Kathopanishad says. It is like walking on a razor's edge. It truly is. Let me tell you, it's very difficult. Especially when you're living in this society where people think you're crazy. I'm not crazy. You're like, oh, you don't know anything about politics. You don't know anything about this. You don't read any books. No, I do read books, but there's only a specific kind of books that I read. I don't read all the other trash, right? But most of the people are doing that. They're into politics, they're into novels, they're into this and that. And then what happens is you become a misfit. in them. They think you're a misfit. So to handle that, if you, you know, if you try to like fit into society and do this spiritual studies, it gets very tricky. Because they're like two opposite, you're like putting your one foot in one boat, the spiritual boat, and one is in the material, external and internal. Now the two boats are going in different directions. What will happen to you? You will perish. There'll be a lot of friction. This is what happens. They come for this mission things, but they want to fit in society. One thing you have to give up. They try to fit in society and they try. So what happens is they don't have spiritual progress. They don't get it. Then they start doubting the knowledge itself. Because there's no spiritual evolution is not coming around, right? Because they're trying to fit in the society outside by doing all these external things to please all these external people. And that's the reason that they're neither here nor there. So it's better if people think you're a misfit or then what happens is you just sort of withdraw from all these kinds of social activities anyways. If there's an automatic withdrawal, there's like now all the leaves are falling in Vancouver. So autumn, right? So then the leaf matures and it just falls off. And that's why Bhagwan says that such a Mahatma, such a person, therefore it's extremely difficult, is very, very, therefore it becomes rare. People don't have the strength to continue. All right, and that is because of all these extroverted tendencies. With Bahunam Janma Namante, it desire to study the scriptures and all that, it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of time, and so a lot of births. All right, okay. Then why is it that if you're saying this, but all people are not doing all this. Why? Why is it durlabha? That is what is now being explained. Kamaistaistairritadjnanaha prapadyantenya devataha tam tam niyamamasthaya prakrutyaniyataswaya. Those whose wisdom has been looted away by this or that desire go to other gods, following this or that rite, led by their own nature. So kamaihi tai tai ritanyanaha, those whose wisdom has been ritanyanaha, jnana, wisdom, knowledge. That those whose wisdom has been looted away by what? Kamaihi. Kama is desires. So they have many, many desires. Bhagwan Shankaracharya in his commentary, he says there are three kinds of desires. You know, we think many, many. All desires, he says, fall into three categories only. Putreshana, Vitteshana, and Lokeshana. Eshana is desire, Eshana. So Putreshana means, Putra means progeny, not just son. Progeny. Everybody wants their name to be continued. In India especially, you know, even if there's a girl, they don't like it, they want a boy. So that is why all that falls. Lokeshana is to become popular among people. So people can remember me, you know, this thing. And Vitteshana is wealth, material. So no matter which desire you take, it will fall under these three categories. So wealth means, you know, anything. You may want a house, not just money, physical money, but maybe you want a house, you want a big car, you want this, that. And Lokeshana is when you want fame, name and fame, and then progeny. The question is, how come these people have so many desires? Where are the desires coming from? They're coming from the vasanas. Again, that Bahunam Janma Namante also applies here. For births and births, all they've done is lived life fulfilling desires. So thinking that every time they fulfill a desire, that desire will go away. But desire doesn't work like that. Desire is like a fire. The more fuel you add to that fire, the fire will flare up even more. It does not get subdued. So what happens is when we go on fulfilling desires, it creates more and more and more desires. You fulfill one, there's 10 more waiting, like the tissue box. You know, you pull one tissue, there's another one waiting there. Before this desire is even thoroughly enjoyed, you know that there is another desire waiting there. So these people have a lot of desires. And then what they do is to fulfill those desires, they go to Anya Devata. He's saying then they do not come to me. They go to these other demigods, you know. In the modern times, you can understand this Anya Devataha, demi, other gods, as, you know, I have a desire then to, you know, for whatever, I say, I think, oh, do I know somebody in that organization? Suppose I want a job. In India, this happens a lot, right? I want a job. Then I'll go find out some relative who knows some higher up in that organization. And then my application will go to that person. So that's that Anya Devata can be translated it for modern times. This Anya Devata can be where we have a contact. Okay. But in the previous, this thing, Indra, Varuna, these are all the Anya Devatas. And in Bhagavad, we also saw that, you know, when everybody was preparing to pray to Indra for the rains, Govardhan Parvat episode comes because of that. His parents and everybody is preparing to do yajna for Indra, and Bhagavan asks, who are you praying to? He says, oh, we have to pray to Indra, otherwise he won't give us rains. So that is the idea here. So they have desires and they're praying to these different gods. What they don't know, tam tam niyamam asthaya. So these, what they don't, and why they do it, is the next verse he says that he's the one. But why they do it is because of their own prakriti, their own nature, which they have gained. Desires are coming from vasanas, and vasanas have been accumulated over bahudam janma namante. So over many, many births, that applies to this also. Because even to study the scriptures is a vasana. So you can either increase your vasana of studying the scriptures, or you can increase vasanas of desires for external things in the external world. And when you have many, many desires for these external things, then you will go to your various other contacts. Then you have desire for rain, then you go to Indra, you have desire for wealth, you go to Lakshmi, you desire for this, that. Some people even go to the extent of doing bhuta and preta, you know, they will go to the cemetery and they will do all kinds of rituals and rites, and it's anything is voodoo is one of this. They have desire, because see, to hurt somebody else also is a desire. It's a desire, right? So when you start doing all those dolls and whatnot that they do to hurt somebody else, they're praying to those gods, right? So here, what the point here is that, okay, as spiritual seekers, then what must I do? Bhagwan has said this, right? Like they have these many desires. Now, one thing we must understand, that desire is a thought. Basically, if I say I want a house, it's a thought that I want a house. I want a spouse. I want a whatever is a thought. So if we want to have spiritual evolution, if we want to progress on this path, we need to analyze these desires. Okay? AKA also known as thoughts. So the first thing to analyze is whether this is a desire or a need. See, there are basic needs. I need a basic roof on my head. I need basic food. I need basic clothes. So if it is a need, then it doesn't fall under this category. Okay. So that is one thing. Second, this analysis has to be whether this is a good desire or a bad desire. Now the question is, how do we determine whether it's a good desire or a bad desire? A good desire is one which will take you Godward. So which is taking you inside. In Vedanta, going Godward is never external, going outside. It has to be inside. So how much is your attention within? How the more you want to go within, the more you will be worried about purifying your own mind. That is the stage to, there's a means to go to the Lord. So this desire then becomes a good desire. Because, you know, if you say don't have any desire, then okay, then I wanted to give money to the mission. But now you said don't have a desire. So now I don't have that desire. That is not what is meant here. When you have a desire to help somebody or whatever, and if you can, yes. Bad desire is one that is making you extroverted. Now what you're doing is you are, you know, doing things to please others. You're doing things to mix in society, to be accepted in your normal society, because you think, oh, then they'll think I'm a misfit, I'm doing spiritual studies, this, that. So that sort of desire, that analysis has to be there. And how do I control all these desires is by leading a self-disciplined life. Self-imposed discipline is the way of a seeker. What happens with discipline is when you have a certain discipline in your life, there is no time for other things, for the mind to go here and there. See, that's the ashram life that we led. We had no time to think of anything. We were given a schedule right from day one, which continued till the last day of when we were in the ashram. 6 o'clock chanting, 6:30 to 7:30, 7 to 8 lecture, 8 to 9 breakfast, 9 o'clock go to your room and do the notes of the thing. Then 11 o'clock come and do Vishnu Sahasranam chanting and bhajans and this and that. 12:30 lunch, then rest time, then lecture, then this, then satsang, and then dinner again. So we never had time. Well, when should I phone this? Why should I? Then we also had discipline in clothes. We had only white saris. So there's no nothing to think. Only rotate the 6 saris. So no choice, no thinking. When there is a choice, should I wear this today? Should I wear that today? What color should I? Nothing, no choice only. So that sort of a life, if you can bring it into your own home to a certain degree, I'm not saying you have to wear white saris or anything, but you know, like it's crazy, I think. Every time you look around, there is a new fashion in the blouse and this. And now, if you decide that, okay, it doesn't matter. People can call me old-fashioned. Whatever my old blouses are, I'm going to wear. But if you try to now follow the fashion, you will not have time for spiritual studies only, na? Because all your attention is, okay, oh, is that in fashion now? Oh, I want that. Oh, that is that I want. Yeah, that. Finish. No time. So this discipline for a seeker becomes very important. That, you know, it's okay. If I don't have like the latest fashion clothes, it's okay. It's okay, right? Because my focus is not to please others. My focus is not to, you know, but my focus is this. So leading a self-disciplined life, the desire, and then when the desires come, the other thing is, suppose if a desire comes, first of all, it has to be within your, not a desire, oh, I want to rob the bank and I want to steal some, not like that desire. But suppose you want to travel, you want to do this thing. That desire must not agitate you. And how that desire will not agitate you, if you have complete faith that whatever is meant for me will come to me. Whatever is destined for me will come to me. Know that in this life, all the situations, everything that has come to us has been preordained. There is nothing coming to us suddenly. Oh, coincidence, I met you. No, it's all written. Everything is written. So even if you travel, if you meet your long lost friend, if you, whatever has happened, it was meant to happen at that moment. Accidents happen. Whatever is to happen, it was meant to happen at that moment, and it has happened. So same thing with your own desires. If you have a desire to travel, if you have a desire to see a movie, if you have a desire, whatever desire you can have, karmic karma it is called. It is like not that it's your daily duty or anything. It's not even a duty. It's a desirous act. Like I like to see movies. So, okay, this movie is releasing. I would like to see that movie. So that thought will come because of the vasanas. But that thought must not agitate you, must not bother you. Okay. See, we are not the kind of people that even if I can't, then I'll beg, borrow, steal and go see the movie. Not like that. We are not in that category at all. But we may be in the category where, you know, I'm feeling, oh my God, you know, I didn't see this movie. I should have seen. That should not happen. And with that faith, it will not happen. If you have the faith that if this is meant to me, it'll come to me. Why should I run after it? It'll come. With those kinds of desires. With the scriptural studies, please don't do that. Like, oh yeah, if I'm meant to study, I will study. Actually, if you are, you will study, but put effort in for this thing. Okay. So the idea is to sublimate the desires. Ultimately, not suppress. Gurudev has given, what we need to do is sublimate versus suppress. If you suppress something, it will come out in double force at a later time. Whereas sublimation is when you attach to something higher, then this lower desire gets automatically sublimated. It is not suppressed. These are two different words, suppression and sublimation. Sublimation happens, and the best example is when exams would come, then we would decide, oh, at least I would, 1 month now I won't see any movies because I want to study. That is sublimation. That desire was there, but now what has happened is this exam is coming. I want to get good marks. I want to get a good percentage. So I want to work hard for it. So I don't want to get distracted with anything else. Now for this period of time, I will not see any movies. After the exam is over, I will go. That is sublimation. So when you're attaching to something higher, then you let go of the lower very easily because you're more attached to the higher than the lower. So when you are attached to your scriptural studies, because you know that this is the way to liberation and you want that liberation, you want that realization, then you will let go of these other extroverted tendencies and there will be no difficulty letting go. See, if there is a difficulty letting go, then know that your attachment is not that strong. Therefore, Gurudev has said, attach and detach. When you attach to the higher, it becomes easy. Like if you're climbing a ladder, once you place your, you know, hold the upper ladder, rung of that ladder and put your foot on the upper, it becomes easy to lift the second foot off of the lower rung. That is the idea. So this is what we as seekers, if we want to be a spiritual seeker, this is what has to be done. There is no other way in this scriptural studies. Unless we let go of these, all these extroverted tendencies, it is not possible for the mind to go and become introverted. All right. So here what Bhagwan is saying is they surrender to all these various deities. And the reason that they do it is because of their prakriti. Prakriti, their desires are coming from prakriti, which is vasanas. Their swabhava, prakriti here means their nature. And how has the nature built up? From births and births, they've done that. How do you make a habit? Every day, you know, 2 days, 3 days, you get up in the morning, you drink a cup of tea. Fifth day, it has become your nature. Right? So that is what these people have done. They have had desires. They've worshipped the gods and then they've got their desires. And then they are there. So for us, for spiritual seekers, we need to take care of your desires. Take care of our own desires, okay? And those are the ways. Those are the methods. Then what do you do? They are going to Anya Devata. Are you jealous? Bhagwan says, no, I am not jealous or anything. Yo, yo, yam, yam, tanum, bhaktaha, shraddhayar, chitum, ichchati, tasya, tasya, chalam, shraddham. Whatsoever form any devotee desires to worship with faith, that same faith of his I make firm and unflinching. So I'm not jealous. If somebody goes to some other god, then I am like, okay, fine, no problem. You have faith in that god. You think that that person is going to do your work. Now I will make your faith strong in that person. How? By fulfilling your desire. Because the point is that ultimate fulfiller only I am. It's like, you know, there is the ministry, right, in our country. So there, every minister has his own portfolio. If I have a problem with a particular portfolio, I will go to that minister and that minister will say, relieve me of my worries or whatever, give me a solution. I think that the minister is all powerful. I forget that the power to that minister has been given by the prime minister or the chief minister. That is the thing. This Anya Devataha that Bhagwan is talking about, he says, I only have given them that power. Like in the case of Indra, who gave him the power to be the god of the rains? This is the Supreme Brahman. Now what happened was he forgot that. He thought I am the one that is controlling the reins. That's why to teach him a lesson, Bhagwan did that. That Govardhan Parvat episode, all the episodes, see in Bhagavad Puran, Bhagwan's birth was, one aspect was to punish the evildoers. So many Kans, Putana, Shishupal, all these. This. But the other aspect was to take away the ego of the devatas. That was also happening. On the one side, the devatas were becoming very egotistical because they thought, oh, they have the power. You know, that's why Brahmaji took away all the gopis. Those little boys, coward boys. He takes them away. Krishna thinks, okay, you think you can this thing? I will only photocopy. You know, in Balvihar, there's Krishna photocopies himself. That is that episode. We think it's a children's this thing, but it's for adults also. So that is the thing. So now what happens is these people who are praying to these Anya Devataha, they don't know this. They think that this is the supreme God and now I'm praying. And so Bhagavan says, okay, you're praying to him. That's fine. No problem. You will get what you want from him. And now your faith in him becomes stronger. This is how he does this. That how can I, you know, suppose if I go to a person and then my whatever that minister does for me, that, you know, whatever grievance I had, he removes it. I will have faith in him na, next time. I will recommend also, you know what, I had the same problem. I did this. You go there. It's like when we moved into this building and appliances, you know, somebody's oven, this thing, that. Then immediately I told them, I said, no, phone them. They're really good. We have all high-end appliances. We were under warranty for 1 year, right? So anything happened with the appliances, we'd phone them and they'd come. So I told her, I said, her oven caught fire only one day, some smoke. I said, no, don't worry. You call Bosch, they will come and they replaced it for her, right? So that is how the faith is becoming strong. Like I use them and now my work got done. I'm telling somebody else, her work will get done. Her faith will increase. This is the idea here. That is whatever they want, I have, they get it because of me. Ultimately, it's only because of me that they're getting it. They don't know that. It's okay. They think, oh, I got it because of this devata. That's fine. That's what he says. All right. Now, sataya shraddhaya yuktaha tasya radhanam ihate labhate chatat kaman mayeva vihitan hitan. Endued with that faith, he engages in the worship of the devata and from it he obtains his desire. All these being ordained indeed by me alone. So you have to also understand here that he is now speaking as Ishvara, not as the Supreme Consciousness, because the Supreme Consciousness really does not do anything. But the Ishvara is the Karma Phala Data. Karma Phala Data means the giver of the results of actions. And the way this action, the results are given, it's like in an exam, when a student writes the paper, the examiner is seeing the paper, he sees what is written in that paper and accordingly he allots the marks. Ishvara, one definition of Ishvara is one who knows the past, the present and the future of all the jivas. At one shot, he knows everything. So when a particular person prays to a particular deity for whatever a particular result, then what is happening is Ishvara is looking into his past and thinking that this result can be given to him. And then he gets the results. Okay. When he gets the results, his faith increases. His faith goes on increasing. And what Bhagwan is saying here, that that's why he says, all these being ordained indeed by me alone. He doesn't know that though. So on one side, it is his faith. See, what is faith from one side is grace from the other side. You must understand that. I have faith in the Supreme Lord. As a seeker, therefore, that's why it was said, like, as a seeker, we must sublimate our desires. And we must only pray to the, you know, to the Lord for purity of mind. So as a seeker, our attention should always be on our mind. Purifying the mind. But these people. So their faith increases, and on this side it is grace. From the Lord's side it is grace, from their side it is faith. So they are praying, but they now have faith in these other deities, right? Because they've got the result, they pray to these other deities, their faith in that deity increases. It becomes stronger and stronger each time that they pray and they get. And then finally, ultimately, by some grace, they will realize. That's why what Bhagwan is saying is, I fulfill their desires and then hope that someday they will come to know that what actually is happening. And then they'll come to me. So this is what. We'll stop here today. Are there any questions? Then he says that, then he will go and talk about the result later. Now he will say that all these results that they get, they're finite. They will end. They will end. And that's why this cycle of desire and fulfillment never ends. See, what happens is most of us are desiring finite things. And we are thinking that we will get happiness from these finite things, because I will never desire anything which I know is going to give me sorrow. But I don't know that actually what I think is happiness is sorrow only. Why? Because that thing is finite. What I have asked for is finite. So it is going to end. And when it ends, what I'm going to end up is with sorrow ultimately. Anything, when I go after any finite object, there will be sorrow. That's why Meera Bhai, in one of her bhajans, she has said, why should I marry a human being who will make me a widow? Who can make me a widow? Why don't I just marry Bhagwan? Then I will never become a widow. So anything finite is going to end, and whatever that happiness you felt at that time, it is going to go away. And then what happens is, then you're looking for more happiness, and then you're again running after these five. It's like the cube of sugar running after chocolate, you know, give me sweetness, without recognizing that that cube itself has got sweetness, and that sweetness is in the chocolate, but it doesn't know that. So that's what we are doing. We are running after these finite objects, thinking that they'll give us happiness. Ultimately, they will give only sorrow. Ultimately, there'll be sorrow. Why? Because they're finite. They're anitya. You cannot get, we want constant happiness. And that's why this chase for happiness is actually a chase for sorrow only, which we don't realize. Therefore, this sukha is always, this external happiness is actually nothing but sorrow. Because it will end. That object, it has to. There's only one thing which is permanent. That is the Lord. Everything else in this world is impermanent. So no matter what you want, name, fame, glory, everything goes away. Youth goes away, body goes away, beauty goes away, hair goes away, everything goes away. So you're more and more attached and you want that, you will end up with sorrow. You will end up with sorrow. So it's better not to get attached to these impermanent things. Okay. And through knowledge, if that is done, it is better. It will stay with you. If you just do it because somebody is saying, somebody is telling you, the guru is telling you, that's why you need to think for yourself. That's why Gurudev always said, think. So I'm giving you these pointers. Now you need to think about it, and you need to go into your own life and, evaluate your own experiences, and then see what is being said is right or not. Okay, we have come up to verse 22. Any questions are there?
Yeah, Ji, just based on what you told now, I'm thinking, why is the Lord allowing that to happen? Allowing us to make those mistakes?
Because, you have to understand that it is not the Lord who is allowing us. We ourselves have ordained it. That's why I said, whatever situations are coming to me are because of my own actions done in the past. And that's why they say that in the present, do the right actions.
Yeah.
So that the right situations will come in the future. Whatever we have done in the past, we have no control, right? We didn't know, or whatever we did. Now, because of that, it is not the Lord. That's why the Lord doesn't take any blame. In chapter 9, he will say, Nirdosham hi samam Brahma. He says, Brahma is nirdosh. Brahma is not doing anything. That's why he said, no, I'm waiting here, but nobody is coming only to me. Because we only have done it. Our mind is so extroverted. We only have done it. That's why, remember that we can undo it too. We have the power. What we have done, we can undo. So right now also we can start having the right kind of actions. Karma Yoga, all these principles, if we, you know, self-discipline, life, all these principles, if we start following even now, they will help us in the future births. Because it's like people ask that also, why did God create this world? But God did not create the world. You created it.
Right.
So you cannot blame God. That's why I told you, karma phala data, you must understand. Because you see, when people think that Ishwara is karma, therefore in Upadeshar, the first is karturadneya prapyate phalam. So people think that Ishwara is giving, so he is not fair to me because he didn't give me a son, he didn't give me money, he gave my neighbor a big house, he gave my neighbor this thing, that thing, right? But what we forget is, what did I write in my paper? I told you in the exam, what you write in the paper, accordingly you'll get marks. So have I done actions in the past that I deserve a big house and a son and a whatever? Do I deserve that or does he deserve that? So what can Bhagwan do? Bhagwan says, no, he did actions, correct actions. Those are the results that he deserves. Those are the results that these are the type of actions you did. This is the result that you deserve. Now this is what you get. So there is no blame on me. It is all on us. All, if it wasn't, that's why I told you Maya also. He says, Mama Maya Durataya. But understand, it is my Maya. It is not his Maya that is difficult to cross over. But I have created my own Maya by my likes and dislikes. That is the main thing. First thing is, you know, the minute I say, I don't like this, I like this, you're caught in Maya. It's your Maya. Get out of that. Life will be very simple. You just accept. It snows, okay, fine, accept. It rains, okay, fine, accept. Now the days suddenly have become shorter. Okay, accept. If you keep fighting, nah, then that's the problem. Therefore, no, God is not to be blamed at all.
So when we go behind different desires, we go behind different devatas to get our desires fulfilled, and Bhagavan is helping us achieve those, complete those desires, fulfill those desires, we actually end up going behind those desires more and more without turning back towards the Lord.
Yes. That is what happens. That is like fuel to fire. That's why we need this guru to tell us that is what is happening. Don't do that. You're right. Because as long as we did not come in contact with this knowledge, but we were like that. Now, suppose movies I like. Now, I used to see movies, then see the preview, then decide which movie next week. Every week I would decide, next week what movie. When is the next party? If I go for one party, when is the next party? Who will invite me? Who should I invite? Now, my life is now changing because of this knowledge. So now those desires are not bothering me. Mm-hmm. So change yourself. Then there'll be peace. Peace is happiness. We think happiness is, you know, getting something, getting like that. No. What is real happiness is peace of mind. So then what happens is, whether I get this thing or not, I am at peace. I am at peace. That way.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's why we need the guru. That's why we need this knowledge to tell us that. Otherwise, we wouldn't know. Okay. Any other questions? We have come to verse 23. So there are only 7 more verses left in this chapter, 30, because the verses are 30. So do decide what next text is on your schedule so that I know what to expect. And next week is a long weekend. I'm in town. So you guys decide if you want to have the class or not. It's the Remembrance Day. They've cancelled our Balvihar class. That's why I remember. So maximum 2 more classes to finish this text. Maximum. One will be a little bit, I don't know. I'm not sure of the verses. Yeah, I don't know whether I can just rush them. So 2 for sure. In 2 we'll be finishing. I think 17th December, I believe, will be our last class. 15th December is the Saturday before Christmas, that I'm having my last class here in Vancouver. So Monday 17th, or you decide and tell me. Okay. All right.
Janaji,
Yes.
Regarding next week, I was talking to Ashok Ji, and he said, we talked and we decided that we'll just, every long weekend, we'll just have it off so there's consistency. Okay. And everybody will understand that, and then we wouldn't have to worry about this.
Okay. Okay, fine. That's what they've done in my Balvihar. That's why it keeps coming, popping up in my mind, because even I don't have Sunday class. So next Monday, there won't be a class. Then they'll, the following Monday and the following Monday. So two more Mondays will complete the text.
Okay.
So in the meanwhile, if anybody has any questions, you can write to me or you can ask me. All right? Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Alright, good night everybody. See you in 2 weeks. Thank you.